Good morning. Today is Thursday, October the 20th. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Schools Superintendent Fred Van Fleck.
Hey, good morning.
So, homecoming, huh? Last week?
It was.
Protocol must be observed.
Yeah, while you get your protocol there, I wanted to offer you a job. You did a really nice job cleaning up over here. We have some custodial positions opened if you're interested.
All right. Thank you. Oh, I see. You're going for recruitment opportunities.
Heck yes.
Okay. Our quote this morning, a little baseball. I don't know. Is it go Cubbies or go Indians?
It's go Giants.
Well, okay, they left. They've already gone. Yes. They took your advice and they left. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Well, what I could say is the number of baseball games this year I couldn't even count on one hand. That's because there are none.
That's not public school education, is it?
No, I have. Okay. I have not watched any baseball games this year.
Good. Just, but you listen to many of them, right?
No, not really.
You will be shot during the break. Our quote this morning from Satchel Paige. Yeah, I don't need to keep going.
I was just
going
to say I went to your other station that wasn't playing them while they were on. You know, because you could go to 106 when they're playing on 101.
Help me out. I know you're trying to be cute, but you lost me. Remember, man, I got jet lag going down here. So you would go to KINS and wouldn't be listening to KEKA.
There you go.
Okay. Well, as long as you're still part of the family,
that's cool. Yeah,
yeah. Satchel Paige, quote, "Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, sometimes you get rained out."
Well, that's apropos for what happened on Saturday night at homecoming.
Yeah, it was
a little damp.
It was a little windy. Did it dampen any of the spirits?
Oh, no. Shoot, I even remember back when I played high school football. We prayed for rain. We loved it. We loved it.
Well, that's back when Redwood Bowl, the guys would used to take those big runs and slide in the mud at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Tear the field. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes, there we go.
Yes.
Little Freddie Van Fleck out there tearing up the big boys' field. So what are you going to remember from homecoming 2016?
Well, I'll tell you, probably the most interesting point was when we were walking down from the gym to Albee Field, because the first quarter we had that huge thundercell move overhead, and there was literally 2 inches of water running down the asphalt as you walk down that hill, and the poor girls walking down there in their queen candidate costumes with outfits, I should say, not costumes, with their heels on in that water running over the top of their feet. I mean, it was literally 2 inches deep.
That's an interesting takeaway. KINS, news and information time. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning. KINS, news and information time is 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. Fred, there always seems to be a bucket load of information that nobody really knows 100% about, but boy, golly, there's poundage, particularly yes. During the political season.
Oh, yes.
Are there school bond measures? I know I should know. Are there school bond measures and propositions this year on the state ballot that have significant impact?
There are. In fact, there's four propositions on the ballot that relate, what I think will have a particular impact on schools, and one of those being, like you just said, a school bond measure, a statewide school bond measure. That's Proposition 51. It's a $9 billion state bond measure because the state actually ran out of bonding authority about 4 or 5 years ago. And they haven't passed a subsequent bond since then. And the importance to the local community.
But it's
here,
only 9 million?
A billion with a B.
Ooh, yep. Okay, never mind.
Yes. And the importance to the local area up here is the state matching funds for the local funds that have been authorized in local bonds. So, for instance, for us, our Measure S bond stands to have a substantial match coming from the state if this bond were to pass.
And if it doesn't? You're on budget and everything's okay?
We're still okay, yep.
So this is a multiplier then?
Exactly. So this is money that we did not count on when Measure S was passed because the state was out of bonding authority.
Does this mean swimming pool?
No, it doesn't mean a swimming pool.
I got you at least a 1 second checkoff.
But what it would mean is that if we can continue to bring in our projects at or under budget, that the board would have an opportunity to reprioritize some money at the end of the projects that we promised out to the public that we would do.
So you have another project you could accomplish or another something that could benefit from.
Right, if everything went well.
So how much are you talking?
It would be in the millions. It certainly when our local bond is just shy of $50 million, it certainly wouldn't be $50 million. If I was a guessing person, probably.
You mean if you were an educated guy?
Well, the reason that it's difficult to pin down is because it has all to do with what we have that's eligible for modernization. The Office of Public School Construction is the one that says, yes, we will match this, or no, we won't match it.
So you don't really know until you get the letter saying yes.
Right. Well, I can give you an exact example right now. We have the Alice Burney project, which we put 3 new classrooms on there, which will get state matching funds, which will be just under $1 million that comes in for that project. It's done. It's on the list. And if this proposition passes, we will get those matching funds. So that's just one example.
Would it be enough? Remember, you opened the store. Would it be enough to clean up the blight called Jacobs Junior High School?
Well, actually,
and get that neighborhood back.
That's actually an interesting concept because, believe it or not, Jacobs Junior High School, when it had our alternative education campus there, the way the state calculates money is based on student attendance. And the last time the eligibility was counted was when Jacobs was there. So we may be able to get some state matching dollars based on when those students were there to abate and demolish that campus if this bond passes. So what we're actually in the process of doing right now, the board authorized us to start getting prices on demolishing buildings, one building at a time. Because
on that campus?
On that campus now, right. And so we're in the process of getting a cost. We actually had a conversation with the city if they had a preference which building went down first because the police respond out there all the time. And so where we're at right now.
They're all connected by a roof, right?
No, they're not. There's individual buildings. It'd be nice if they were.
Yeah,
but
just one out.
But regardless of the state funding, whether that comes through or not, we want to look at a plan of trying to at least get down one building at a time and spreading it out over time. Because, I mean, it's just an issue that has to be addressed.
Well, you know, we don't drive that part of Eureka regularly, but when we do, it's like, you know, what is this message saying to the neighborhood?
It's awful.
And what is the neighborhood having to deal with? Would it be different if there was a board member living in that neighborhood?
I'll tell you,
always speculate.
I tell you what I wish we could do is I wish we could rewind back 15, 20 years ago when we stopped maintaining those buildings and would have at least kept a roof and a package around the building so the insides would have been salvageable. That's why it was so important for us to do something to the Lincoln campus there right off of Harris, because if we wouldn't have gone in and done something to that, it would have turned into the exact thing Jacobs did. So it was very important to me and the board to make sure that we got a package around that building so we didn't lose it.
So that is all connected to that one proposition?
Well, matching money is connected to that proposition, yes. But the plan of finding one building at a time is something that we're doing because we just have to address it.
So that could be that project that could benefit if the matching happened and you were able to not have to allocate some dollars in one area, you might be able to throw them over to Jacobs and
deal with
that.
That is correct. So that's Prop 51, yes.
Okay, you got 45 seconds for the others.
All right, excellent. The next one, a big one. We actually have a there's a big press release today on Prop 55, which is the extension of income tax on those folks that are fortunate enough to make over $250,000 a year. And that extension would be no new taxes. It's actually a tax cut because back in the old Prop 30 days, that sunsets, and the state sales tax portion of Prop 30 would go away, but the income tax portion for those over 250 of the top 1% would remain.
Well, you know, that one will pass. It's not me, it's you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. Okay, we'll give you a couple more minutes before we jump into some of the others. But it is interesting that, and I don't know, I guess I kind of think I kind of sort of pay attention to some of the political stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not heard a whisper about any of the state propositions. You know, the marijuana legalization, we were talking a little bit about that during the break. I thought at least we would have some discussion about it. Nothing. Neither side. And, you know, it's back at the conference. You know, well, how are you going to vote on? I don't know. I mean, nobody's saying one way or the other. I know how I want to vote culturally, you know,
right.
Being a local kid. Okay.
Right.
But can I back it up with any stats other than 55 years of gut? No, not really.
It was interesting. I actually signed on to a letter with Chief Mills and several other law enforcement people around that we sent out as a press release about Proposition 64 and our position on it, and my position personally as with an educator's background. And
is this Fred the dad, or is this Fred the title?
This is Fred the dad, Fred the local from up here. Fred, the former high school principal in schools out of the area.
Now you're getting into the title, man.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I know it's tough to separate.
Education,
the two,
it is. Education is part of it, and obviously part of my background and what's developed my opinion. But I'm not speaking as the superintendent of Eureka City Schools right now. This is just my personal opinion, and on my personal opinion. You know, I'm not in favor of Prop 64. It's different up here on the North Coast, specifically Humboldt County. The culture that's here and the acceptance of marijuana in our culture as compared to, say, the Central Valley, where I was for 15 years. And the difference is it's just not as prevalent down there. Meth is a big problem down there, but marijuana isn't as prevalent. It's certainly there. I'm not saying that it's not there, but it's not as culturally accepted down there. And my biggest fear about 64 is that if it becomes legal, it's going to make its way into high schools more. And
well, booze is legal. Do you guys have a lot of alcohol on campus?
Oh, absolutely. That's where the every 15-minute program comes from, and driving under the influence. And that's one of the decisions that a lot of students make that's poor. When you're a teenager, you're growing up and experimenting and learning some of these different drugs that are out there and experimenting with them, and the maturity isn't there to be able to understand the impact, because you know, so many people when they're young like that think that they're going to live forever, and shoot, I didn't realize I wasn't going to live forever until I was 40.
Just wait, buddy. Just wait. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. And thanks for bringing that 40 thing up too. After I brought up the 55, yeah, appreciate that.
So, you know, it is readily available up here in Humboldt County. It absolutely is. In legalization in Humboldt County, do I think that's going to make it any more readily available for high school students in Humboldt County? No.
So we've already done our workarounds, so to speak.
Yeah,
I mean, we now like where we are, but we've done that workaround.
Yeah, I think so. But you go down to the Central Valley, and it's not readily available like that. It is not as readily available as alcohol is.
What about drug-free zones? What does that do to that whole concept of drug-free zone? Does it change it at all? Or does it change the enforcement levels or what you're looking at or the criminal implications of?
It certainly changes the enforcement level because we have a drug-free zone within 1,000 feet of a school, and unless you're in a residence or something like that, that's there's some exceptions to that. But I've never heard anybody say, oh, shoot, we better drive around the school zone because we're in the 1,000-foot radius of a drug-free school. But there certainly is an enhancement that goes along with that if you were to be caught violating the law. But that all comes down to what's going to be prosecuted, and that's the whole impact of what's our county jail look like, and who are they going to throw in our county jail, and where's there room for it? I mean, because there's a whole trickle-down piece that goes along with all of that.
So that almost becomes a local jurisdiction by local jurisdiction rather than a statewide Department of Education or educational code or anything like that.
Right. Well, it's a statewide law. But enforcement is certainly up to the local area.
At the state level, or when you get together with the other super dupers, do any of them, are they playing this one out, or are they just going to wait and see and let's focus on budget rather than on cultural?
I would say that on a statewide level, they're much more interested in things like Prop 51, the school bonds, Prop 55, that income tax extension for the top percentage of people, because funding is really the key for the schools. They're going to focus on the enforcement no matter what the law is with marijuana, but I don't think that there is any, and I would even be willing to bet that there is a differing opinion among superintendents on some thinking it should be legalized and some not thinking it should be legalized. And I would say that's all over the gamut. So there is no organized effort from education to say no on 64 or yes on 64.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We're going to say yes to 42 and we'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. Final segment this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, you want to take a moment or two to talk a little bit about a legal determination over in the Valley, that things may not be as big surprise. Change is afoot again in education.
It is.
This
it
one's is. A little bit different, but it still will impact some.
Yeah, this is hot off the presses. In fact, there was just a finding on Monday in regard to charter schools that came out of the Court of Appeals on Anderson Union High School District versus Shasta Secondary Homeschool. And the California Court of Appeals ruled that non-classroom-based charter schools must operate within their home district.
Non-classroom-based?
Right. So independent study type. Charter schools. There's several of which all over Humboldt County. You know, I'm not going to get into the names of all of them, but there's several charter schools that have an independent study type setup, even though they are in classrooms for three quarters of the week or almost full days. They have voluntary time in the classrooms. But this one, this court case says that they can't operate like that because they've been operating in a loophole or what they saw as a loophole in the law. And so finally...
So is this like the internet learning stuff that a number of schools offer?
Not internet learning could be one of them, but the main thing really is they have a site. The students come in anywhere from 1 hour a week to 5-6 hours a day, but not the full day like a traditional school is.
So you need a butt in a chair for a period of time.
Correct. So they come in. It's really a homeschool based type charter. Or a charter that does maybe three quarters of a day and has some voluntary time after that. That's the type of charter that this is talking about that would be sponsored by a neighboring school district and, say, to use the example, operated within the boundaries of Eureka City Schools without the authorization of Eureka City Schools has been deemed to be illegal.
They have to get your blessing?
They have to get Eureka City Schools' blessing in order to do that within our district.
So let's say it's Pabst Dine Tech.
Right. And you're sponsored by Pacific Ocean.
Okay. So I would have to be sponsored by somebody. No, I just couldn't do it myself.
No, if you were Pabst Dine Tech sponsored by Pacific Ocean School District and you wanted to operate within Eureka City Schools, right, one of these charter programs, before Monday, you could do that. Now, according to the Court of Appeals, the California Court of Appeals, you cannot do it, which is a state precedent.
Without your signature.
Without Eureka City Schools. There's some really limited
times they can. What if I'm not sponsored? Does a charter school need to be sponsored
A charter school? There's two types of charter schools. There's an independent charter school and a dependent charter school. An independent charter school is sponsored by a district but has its own board. A dependent charter school is sponsored by the district and is governed by that school board. So those are the two, but you have...
And both got impacted by this ruling?
Yes.
Okay.
And so what will happen now is you have to operate within your district boundaries unless you have the permission by the district to be in their school. So it's going to be really interesting. It is certainly going to be appealed because this has a huge impact across the state.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See y'all tomorrow.